Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Tech Sideline High Tech Studios in Blacksburg, Virginia, it's Thursday, March 7th, 2024, and this is TSL Today. We hope you enjoy our audio format of TSL Today as we focus on a quick and easy news update on everything Hokie sports for your commute home. I'm your host, Carter Hill, and today we'll sit down with our baseball beat writer, Raza Umarani, to talk all things Tech baseball, including the start of the season, Garrett Michelle's injury, and what to expect from the Hokies in 2024. That's all coming up next on TSL Today. This episode of TSL Today is brought to you by The Hokie Way. The Hokie Way supports student-athletes in leveraging their name, image, and likeness to amplify the mission of charitable organizations as a way to give back to the community. Your contributions to The Hokie Way support Hokies NIL are tax-deductibles. Visit thehokieway.org to learn more. All right, now let's bring in our baseball beat writer, Mr. Raza Umarani, making his TSL Today debut. Raza, oh my goodness, this is so long overdue. I am fired up to have you in studio. It's an awesome day outside. It's like 66 degrees and sunny here in Blacksburg. Welcome to the set.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be up here with you. You're right, long overdue, but hey, better late than never is what they tell
me. Better late than never, and perfect timing with ACC play getting started this weekend. Let's look at this Virginia Tech baseball team. They're 8-3 so far this season, and I get it, right? I'm in the same category. You know, basketball season is finishing up. It can be a little bit difficult to follow the Hokies. So with that being said, kind of catch us up. What has happened so far this year with John Schaaf's club?
Well, started down in Charlotte with a very, very impressive series victory against a team in the 49ers that was a preseason projected number 3 seed in the NCAA tournament by D1 Baseball. They went down there and they really dominated on Friday and Saturday with a 10-0 win and a 10-5 win down there. Very pleased with the way that it all came together, both offensively and especially on the pitching side, which has really been, in my opinion, the highlight of the early goings of this season for Virginia Tech, because everybody knew coming in that, okay, this lineup has some, you know, some new faces, but some also established names that have done real damage here with the bats down in Blacksburg. But the pitching staff was a complete unknown. This was a staff that returned zero ACC starts from a year ago. And if that sounds familiar, that was also the case in 2022 when a freshman by the name of Drew Hackenberg came along and took the ACC by storm. Might be having deja vu here at Tech with Brett Renfro, who has been absolutely outstanding for Virginia Tech. Three starts, three wins. First and his third games have been shutouts. He's been outstanding. ERA of 169, 19 strikeouts and three walks. We heard in the preseason from John Schaaf, as well as other members of the pitching staff, how good this freshman could be. We're definitely seeing it come to fruition. And then the other member of the rotation that's kind of a new face here in Blacksburg is Wyatt Parliament, transfer from Rutgers, who's turned into the Saturday guy. He's also been excellent. He has an ERA of 386, 11 strikeouts, also just three walks. And then on Sunday, Griffin Stig has emerged as your guy to close out the series. He had a tough one down there in Charlotte. That was the one game they lost, but has bounced back with each of his two longest career outings last week against Stony Brook and the previous week against Rhode Island. So the rotation is really coming together for Virginia Tech. And in my opinion, the offense was always going to be fine, especially against some of the, you know, not exactly ACC caliber opponents, but the pitching staff and the rotation specifically is really, in my opinion, been the bright point of the season thus far.
With that being said, though, some people will knock Virginia Tech's out of conference schedule, and I get it, but Charlotte was picked to finish second in the American.
Yeah.
And the American in, you know, I think this is a general consensus around college baseball. It's almost like a power six.
It is.
In college baseball. It's like the Big East in men's basketball.
Right.
Like, it's that good. East Carolina was picked to win the league, and they're typically a top 10 team every single year. So a good series victory for the Hokies down there in Charlotte. And they followed it up since then. You touched on Brett Renfro, first ever true freshman to earn an opening day start for Virginia Tech.
That's right.
A lot of people are comparing him to Drew Hackenberg. What type of season do you think he can have in ACC play based on how he started?
I do think it remains to be seen, of course, because, again, the caliber of competition hasn't been ACC level. But Charlotte, you're absolutely right. They were picked second in the American, in their first season in the conference.
Yeah.
And again, number three seed projected in the preseason. So that was a very good lineup. And we saw that when they woke up down the stretch on Saturday and Sunday. I must say, I do have high hopes for Brett Renfro, not just based on what I've seen, but based on what everybody tells me. His stuff is absolutely lethal. I mean, that shows with his 19 strikeouts in just three games. He mows down lineups. He's been very efficient in each of his last two outings as well. Obviously, anytime you talk to a pitcher, they're going to say, yeah, you know, you want to pound the strike zone, you want to get ahead in counts, but that's easier said than done, because when you pound the strike zone, you're susceptible to giving up contact. But that has not been the case with Brett Renfro. He has a lethal cutter, which just catches so much of the plate. It almost looks like a slider. So I do think that he can continue that level of play going into ACC play, because I haven't seen anything to sway me in the other direction. And if he does keep this up, he can have a very, very solid freshman season down here in Blacksburg, similar to what Drew Hackenberg had in 2022. And I think more than anything, they're just happy to have found a guy to start series on Friday strong on the mound and be really the ace of this lineup, or this rotation rather, which has been really good thus far.
Now, one of the other storylines of the season right now for Virginia Tech baseball is an unfortunate one, and that is that Garrett Michel, the star-studded first baseman for Virginia Tech, he's expected to miss the remainder of the 2024 season, broke his wrist last weekend against Stony Brook. How tough of a loss is that for Virginia Tech?
I think it's a loss that's very hard to quantify in words. This is a guy who doesn't just provide such a lift in the lineup, batting cleanup, or even at first base with his glove. This is a guy who is beloved in that dugout, in that locker room. I talked to so many guys last week and asked them, what does Garrett Michel mean to this ball club? And they all just rave about the sophomore first baseman. I mean, he is such an integral part of this team and what they're doing both on and off the field. I think it's truly an irreplaceable loss, because you're talking about a guy who missed Saturday and Sunday and the tail end of the game on Friday and still ranks first on the team in home runs with four and second on the team in OPS with the 1361 OPS. It's a tough loss. And in my opinion, what's more difficult for this loss for Virginia Tech is that there's no clear replacement for him at first base. You do have pieces that could play first base, obviously. Like they say in Moneyball, right? It's very difficult to play first base. But they put freshman Ethan Gibson there in lieu of Michel on Saturday and Sunday against Stony Brook. And he was fine. He was 1-for-7 with a double. John Sheff talks about how Gibson is a very versatile infielder. He was actually a two-way star in high school when he was being recruited at Tech, but suffered an injury that means he's no longer able to pitch. I think he could be very solid there at first base, but he is just a freshman. Now, yeah, Michel was a freshman last year, but I think his bat was maybe further along than Gibson's is at the moment. Gibson did have a great game against Radford in a midweek 2 weeks ago when he was 3-for-3 with a homer, two singles, and also two walks, but that was Radford. And yeah, you get started against Stony Brook, but now you're being thrust into the fire of ACC play against a Notre Dame team, which is no pushover. They're 9-2 coming into Blacksburg. So I think it remains to be seen whether Gibson is the answer at first base. Eddie Izard is a guy who could come off the bench and play first base. We saw Garrett Giebel even get reps at first base when Michel went down on Friday. But I do think Gibson will be the guy moving forward.
It's so tough, too, because one of the strong suits of this Virginia Tech team was it was returning its entire infield from a season ago, left to right. DeMartini at third, Clay Grady at short, Christian Martin at second, Garrett Michel at first. Obviously, that's now not the case. I wasn't expecting to pivot in this direction, but you mentioned Garrett Giebel. If he can play some first base, maybe that's an answer, because one of the strong suits of this Tech team to start the year was how good all three catchers have been offensively for Virginia Tech, with Garrett Giebel, Henry Cook, and David McCann.
Yeah, I think that Virginia Tech has honestly an embarrassment of riches behind the dish, because all three guys are so good offensively. Now, I do think that Garrett Giebel and Henry Cook are both further ahead in terms of their defense behind the dish. And John Sheff has mentioned that quite a lot, but you're right. If you can fit Garrett Giebel in and play first base, you could have a lineup with all three catchers
in the game.
But I don't think that will happen. But regardless, I mean, every lineup, or not every lineup, but many lineups throughout the course of the season, whichever catcher is not starting is playing DH. Now, Eddie Micheletti has DH'd for most of the season, and I do think that will continue to be the case. But Tech's three catchers have been excellent. I mean, they've they've really shown their ability not just to slug, but also they've played very good defense behind the dish. Henry Cook has a laser of an arm, and Gary Giebel can frame pitches like no other. So I do think that regardless of who starts, it's been a case of batteries, mm-hmm. in my opinion, right? You'll usually see Cook catching for Stig and for Renfroe, and you'll usually see Ebel on Saturdays catching for Parliament. But I do think no matter what the permutation is, Tech is a very good situation behind the dish.
Okay, so the ACC is a great conference in baseball. The Hokies, though, they were picked to finish sixth in the ACC Coastal Division. Yeah. Is that fair, in your opinion, as we begin to open up ACC play?
I would lean in the direction that, yes, it is fair. But part of that is because of how good the ACC Coastal is, right? You have some great teams. Virginia, Duke, Carolina are up there, right? So, and the other part is this is a Tech team that came off of, let's not sugarcoat it, a very underwhelming 2023 campaign, right? When they were coming off the super regional appearance in 2022, they were picked very highly in the Coastal in 2023. If I'm not mistaken, they were actually picked to win the Coastal a year ago. But this year, different story, coming off a bit of a underwhelming 2023. Now, sixth might be a little bit low. You know, if you want to say fourth or fifth, maybe we can have a conversation. I do think Tech has shown enough in the early goings of the season to see that, yeah, maybe this isn't a team that's going to finish sixth, but yeah. It was a case of we have to see it to believe it, right? It's like, you got to show me what you've got. And I do think Tech has shown enough both offensively and in its pitching staff to see, okay, maybe this is a team that can definitely be more than just a middle of the pack team in the ACC Coastal.
Just for reference, Virginia was picked to win it. They were picked first in the Coastal Division, Carolina at 2, Duke at 3, Miami at 4, Georgia Tech at 5, Virginia Tech at 6, and Pitt at 7. Here's another way to pose that question. Even if Virginia Tech were to finish 6th, could that earn them a spot in the NCAA tournament?
I think that it absolutely could, because it's like I said, the ACC is just so strong, right? You talk about how good the American is and there being a power six. Outside of the SEC, I don't think you can point me in the direction of a better conference than the Atlantic Coast in terms of college baseball. So I do think that Virginia Tech can certainly play their way into an NCAA tournament appearance. Now, hosting a regional might be off the table just because of just how many great teams there are in college baseball and in the ACC in particular. But I do think it's a case where the conference is so strong that even if you are in the middle of the pack, that shows that, okay, they're more than capable of taking games off of these top teams. So I do think with the way it's currently going, Tech can certainly play their way into the NCAA tournament. But I do think that remains to be seen, because the ACC is going to be a lot harder than a lot of the teams that Tech has played thus far.
Talk about the lineup as a whole, too, if you don't mind. You know, Chris Cannizzaro, he comes back for his second year, and then Ben Watson, a transfer from Division III, absolutely raking so far this season.
I think Chris Cannizzaro has been not a pleasant surprise, but I don't think anybody expected Chris Cannizzaro to be this good, mm-hmm. at least in the early goings of this season. Now, he absolutely tore up the non-conference schedule last year. If you remember, he hit for the cycle against Bryant. He might have had the highest OPS on the team heading into ACC play last year. Apropos this year, right? He leads the team in OPS with a 1362, just 1 point higher than Garrett Michel. He also has 4 home runs, which is tied for the team lead. He leads the team in RBIs. He really settled into that 3 spot. He didn't open the year at the 3 spot, but he has moved into that 3 spot since that opening day game against Charlotte. And I think he settled in very, very well. He's not striking out a lot. Every time Chris Cannizzaro is at the plate, you're going to get a battle. It's going to be a war. He's going to see the ball, hit the ball, and usually put the ball in play. He's hitting .452, Carter, to start this year, right? That doesn't just happen. And I do think Chris Cannizzaro has really been the best bat in Tech's lineup. Now, obviously, Carson DeMartini maybe is the most well-known and provides maybe the biggest scare in an opposing pitcher, but Carson is coming off a series where he really, really struggled.
And coming off of the surgery from a year ago,
yes,
too.
That is true. Now, he did start the year really well, but against Stony Brook, he was 0 for 11 with 6 strikeouts and 2 errors, I believe.
That's baseball, Susan.
That is, right? There are ups and downs, and I do think, you know, you can have an 0 for 11 series and then come out and have an 8 for 11 series.
Yeah.
And he's still walking a lot. You know, Carson DeMartini is a guy that, as John Sheff would put it, a pitcher knows when he's coming up in the lineup. But you touched on Ben Watson. I mean, Ben Watson has been excellent. He had a 4 for 6 day last week against Rhode Island where he almost hit for the cycle, right? Those 4 hits were 2 doubles, a triple, and a home run. You almost call that the cycle plus, right? Where you don't hit the single, but you do everything else that you need to do. He's been excellent. He's hitting a 375 right in the middle of that lineup. He's got just a really, really good bat because, like Cannizzaro, he sees the ball so well. And he can hit anywhere in the zone. He's a really good contact guy, but he's also shown an ability to hit for extra bases this year. And I think in the middle of that Tech lineup with other guys that are starting to come along, like your Sam Tackett's and your Eddie Micheletti's, that 3-4-5 spot is going to be really, really good for Tech with DeMartini, Cannizzaro, or not DeMartini, rather, Cannizzaro, Micheletti, and Watson.
Every member of Virginia Tech's starting nine is hitting .268 or higher.
Yeah.
Do you know who has the lowest average of that group?
I'm going to say Carson DeMartini.
DeMartini.
Yeah.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah, you'll take that all day if you're John Sheff. I mean, like I said, did have an 0-for-11 series against Stony Brook, but how many times is Carson DeMartini going to have offers,
yeah,
you know, in the box score after games, especially as we get into ACC play? And there's also a sense of familiarity there. You know, DeMartini is definitely going to turn things around. It's not a bat that's going to stay quiet for a long time.
All right, Notre Dame this weekend. What can we expect this weekend between the Hokies and the Irish?
Runs. Runs, runs, and more runs. Notre Dame, by the way, you know, we talked about the ACC. Notre Dame is currently ranked fifth in the NCAA RPI.
Mm.
I was very shocked to learn about the metrics when I was looking into Notre Dame and writing my preview piece, which went up on Thursday morning on TSL. They get started tomorrow, or on Friday, rather, I should say, at 2 p.m. Eastern. Not exactly sure why that game was moved up, Carter, but that's a story for another time. But this is a team that is offensively on fire. They got a kid there, TJ Williams, who's batting .457. So if you thought Chris Cannizzaro was impressive, they got a good center fielder of their own over in South Bend. Their offense has been excellent. They're averaging 9.8 runs per game this season. But the reason I say runs, runs, runs is because their pitching staff has not been up to par. Their Saturday and Sunday starters both have ERAs over 15.
Mm.
And last week they played Tennessee Tech down in Cookeville, Tennessee, and neither of them were able to record more than 4 outs. In fact, their Sunday starter, his name is eluding me, so I apologize for that, didn't record an out against Tennessee Tech. So you might see different starting pitchers for Notre Dame because, you know, those guys, there might be a bit of a short leash. And if you have outings that are that poor against non-ACC quality opponents, you're coming into Blacksburg. And again, this Virginia Tech lineup is no pushover. So you might see different names starting on the mound for Notre Dame on Saturday and Sunday. But I do think that regardless of what happens, Tech's lineup is going to be good enough to be able to plate runs to match Notre Dame's high-flying offense. But on the flip side, I wrote in my preview piece that these pitching staffs are kind of like the yin to each other's yang. Because while Notre Dame's starters haven't been great, their bullpen has been excellent. And while Virginia Tech's rotation has been very good, their bullpen has left a lot to be desired. Guys like Brady Kirtner and David Shoemaker and Jacob Stretcher coming off tough series against Stony Brook. And the other part of that is Tech's defense has left a bit of meat on the bone, in my opinion. They committed 7 errors against Stony Brook, 3 on each of Saturday and Sunday. But assuming that both teams kind of shore up as we start to enter ACC play, it should be a very highly contested series. But I do think you're going to see a lot of offense this weekend at English.
Well, Raza, what a treat. We'll have to do this again soon. I know it's tough with basketball. And we started our baseball coverage on the audio side of things a little bit late last year, but it's been a while since I had gotten in here. I know we wanted to get you in here with the Garrett Michelle injury, ACC play starting up. Perfect time. We'll have some coverage next week live from Capital One Arena down in Washington, D.C. Maybe we'll do something baseball-wise. We'll see.
But maybe. Hey, we'll be there.
We will be there. Hokies are at Louisville the following weekend, and then we'll come back to Blacksburg and be plenty to talk about Diamond Sports, and then Virginia Tech softball. We'll have plenty to talk about them as well.
Well, you mentioned that Tech goes to Louisville. Don't forget, they finished their 8-game homestand that Wednesday welcoming Marist.
Oh, John Sheff's former club.
John Sheff's former team coached more games there than any of his other stops. So unfortunately, I won't be there, right? We will be in D.C. covering the men's ACC tournament in the nation's capital. But that should be a game with some storyline. So keep an eye out for that one.
Well, Raza, we appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me, Carter. Thank you so much.
That's Raza Umarani. I'm Carter Hill. And that was your Thursday installment of TSL Today.